Brother and Sister Young come by and pick me up today to bring me to church because Rhonda had left a little early to pick up Gracie. And on the way here, I said to them, I said, did you ever imagine in your lifetime that you would go be a member of a church in Nashville, Tennessee, living in Kentucky? See, we have to leave about every week. She said, yeah, now I got to get up at 6 o'clock and I enjoy going to Sunday school now. There's a lot of people that just don't realize what they're missing. It's right before them and they're just letting it slip away. Last week we started on the subject of God. Last week I tried to convey to everyone whether or not He's real. And He is real. But if you listen close to the sermon, God has His way of making Himself real to people. And the way that He does that is through the Holy Spirit. His Holy Spirit will reveal the one true God that does exist. So today, as we get ready to go into this message, I guess it's God Part 2. The question that is upon my mind and heart today, and if you know it, I was in the first epistle of John in the 5th chapter. I made it all the way to about verse 11 last week before I felt like I needed to stop. The reason I needed to stop is I needed God to speak to me a little bit more about what He wants conveyed to this particular people that is here today. The question that came to me is, can we understand God? Can we understand God? And if we can understand God, how can we understand God? God is the Trinity. The one true God is made up of the God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost. And in the 11th verse of 1 John chapter 5, we'll begin our reading there. It says, "And this is the record that God hath given to us eternal life. And this life is in His Son." That's a clue. In order for you to be able to understand God, you have to understand His Son, Jesus Christ. A lot of people, they think they understand God. They know about the Son of God. They know about Jesus. But that's not really understanding God. He goes on to say, "And he that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son hath not life. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that ye have eternal life, and that you may believe on the name of the Son of God. And this is the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will..." I want to stop right there. If we ask anything according to His will He do it? Listen to what it says. It says, "If we ask anything according to His will, He heareth us." He'll listen. He'll listen to what we have to say. He'll listen to what our desires are. But you see, if we will do what His will is, we can have confidence that He'll listen. And then it says, And if we know that He hears us, or hear us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desire of Him. Now look at verse 16. "If any man see his brother sin a sin which is not unto death, he shall ask, and he shall give him life for them that sin not unto death. There is a sin unto death, and I do not say that we shall pray for it." It says all unrighteousness is sin, and there is a sin unto death. "We know that whosoever is born of God sinneth not, but he that is begotten of God keepeth himself, and that wicked one toucheth him not." What a promise. And we know that we are of God. How can you understand or know that you are of God and the whole world lieth in wickedness? And we know, verse 20 is real important, "And we know that God, the Son of God, is come and hath given us an understanding, that we may know Him that is true, and we are in Him that is true, even in His Son, Jesus Christ. This is the true God and eternal life. Little children, keep yourselves from idols. Amen. That's reading the 11th verse down through the 21st verse for our reading lesson today. Can we understand God, and how can we understand God? Let's break down this verse for just a moment. In verse 20, we find the word understanding. The Greek word here means to understand with the whole mind, or the intellect, or have understanding. Understanding of what? Understanding of that we know the Son of God has come and hath given us an understanding that we may know Him that is true, and we are in Him that is true, even in His Son, Jesus Christ. This is the true God and eternal life. So that's what we're trying to establish today. How can we understand God? Now, first of all, let me preface by saying this. There was a wise man, a prophet one time, in the 55th chapter of the book of Isaiah, that said this about God. So let me first say that to totally understand God, and the ultimate is given in that lesson there, the only way to understand God is you have to be acquainted with His Son, Jesus Christ. Not only acquainted with His Son, you've got to know Him. You have to know Him in your heart. And the only way to know Him, and we'll try to tell you more about that in a moment, is that you have to seek Him and know Him and be have peace with Him. You know, when you have understanding, the first thing that you understand about God is that He is peace. He is the one that gives us peace that surpasses all understanding. And you know, I'm up here trying to explain to somebody. I'm trying to explain to myself. I'm trying to explain to this church today that we can have an understanding of God if we will just apply ourselves unto it. I also want to say this, because we're going to look at another context of how this verse is broken down in the Amplified Bible. And first of all, I want you to understand that this is not just something that you turn a light bulb on and turn it off. This is something that is progressive. If you want to understand God, you learn more about His Son, and you will understand more about God. In order for us to do that, first of all, we got to understand that His ways and His thoughts are so immaculate compared to ours. In the verse 55th chapter of the book of Isaiah, we read this. And it says, "For my thoughts," He said, "for my thoughts are not your thoughts." You know, a lot of people that say, "Well, I can understand God." No, you can't. You'll not fully understand what God's all about, because He is way up here and we are down, way down here. And because of that, there's a gap, you see, between us and God. But you know what? There's one that fills the gap. You know who that is? That's His Son, Jesus Christ. That's what I'm trying to help us understand today. That you can't understand Jesus Christ if you understand a little bit about His Son and the purpose for His Son. You see, a lot of people are walking around in this world and they say, "Well, I know about Jesus Christ, but do they understand what His purpose is?" His purpose is to bring us back in fellowship with our Creator, God. And you know what? His Son did a perfect job of doing that. You say, "What do you mean? God Himself manifested Himself in the flesh to come and take our sins and nail it to the cross so that we can understand that there is a God." And you know what? God is good, God is love, and God is the one that has revealed Himself to all humanity if we'll just look and listen. Now, He said, "My thoughts are not your thoughts." He said, "Neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord." So this is God speaking. He says, "For as the heavens are higher than the earth," and He says, "so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rain cometh down and the snow from heaven, and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth, and maketh it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater. So shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereunto I send it." He sent it. He said, "For ye shall go out with joy and be led forth with peace." See, that establishes my thoughts. "The mountains and the hills shall break forth before you unto singing, and the trees of the field shall clap their hands. Instead of the thorn shall come up the fir tree, and instead of the briar shall come up the myrtle tree, and that shall be to the Lord for a name, for an everlasting sign that shall not be cut off." And so we see here that today, as we go into this message, His ways and His thoughts are so much higher than mine, and I feel so inadequate to help us to understand what God is all about. But today, as we go into this message, the things that I want to help us to understand is we can understand God. But you know what? We just can't let our thoughts run away with us. We've got to be mindful of where our thoughts come from. We've got to be mindful of who gives us the direction for which we need to go. Whether it's in this service, whether it's in the services to come, everything that we do, if we'll just listen to the voice of God, He will direct us in what we need to do. You know what? We read the Sunday school lesson from the 10th chapter of the book of John. Last week I already had that mark as something I felt like we needed to bring forth, you see, because when we're speaking about God, we're not just speaking about God the Father. We're speaking about God the Father. We're speaking about God the Son. And we are speaking about God the Holy Ghost. All three of them are one, and they agree together. And the voice from God, when He speaks, do you understand that it's Him speaking to you? Think about that. Let me say this. That if God is truly speaking to us, it will always be right, and it will always harmonize what thus saith the Word of God. I believe that with all of my heart. Sometimes our interpretations may be off bounds or out of bounds, but you know what? God is never out of bounds. As Sister Cindy has already said this morning, we are in a harbor. We are in a harbor. It's our obligation. It's our duty. It's also a privilege. I'm going to tell you, brothers and sisters, it's a privilege to be able to come into this house today. It's a privilege that has been afforded to us by our Creator. It's a privilege to be able to get up today and worship God and know that I understand that I am His and He is mine. And I'm bought with a price. And oh, what a price that He was to be able to bring us here. So today, as I go into this message, you say, "Well, Brother Spurgeon, I've been in this way a long, long time." And I'll tell you, the longer I seem like that I'm in this way, the more I understand what God's all about. But it's also I understand that He's far out. He is so far out and so far above anything that I could think of, anything that I could do, anything that I could do in this life. It's just a mere morsel of the things that God has for every one of His children. And He loves every one of His children. He loves everybody in this building. He loves everyone around this building. And I thank God that even though I can't fathom that in my mind, I can't fathom that in my heart, how that God can love everyone. I don't fully understand that, but I do understand one thing, that God loves me. And because He loves me, surely, He has to love everybody else. If you really think about that. God loves me. So if He loves me, He's got to love everybody else. So listen as we go into this message. In the Amplified Bible, we find that this verse, number 20, that talks about this. It says in the King James that we know that the Son of God is come. We know that. We that are saved, we know that God came. Because, you see, we know that because He has placed a love in our heart and a commission. You know what the commission is? The commission is to go out into all the world and to make disciples. Isn't that what Jesus said? He said to go out into all the world and make disciples, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. He said, and lo, I am with you always, even into the world. Before that, he said, when you find them, he said, you baptize them in the name of what? The Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. And so we see the three that bear record one to another. So we know that the Son of God has come and has given us an understanding that we may know know Him that is true, and we are in Him that is true, even in the Son, Jesus Christ, and this is the true God and eternal life. In the Amplified Bible, we find this, and I'm not going to read the whole verse, but just a portion of it, because it says, in the same text, it says, and we have seen and known positively. You know, a lot of people, they think or they put their hope in something, but I positively know that God is real. I positively understand that God is real. I positively understand that He is the one true God. So this application says that we know positively that the Son of God has actually came to this world and has given us understanding. Think about the whole existence of Jesus Christ. Why did He come into the world? He came into the world to give us an understanding of God. Isn't that awesome? How did He do that? You know how He did it? You know how God chose to do that? God chose to put Himself in flesh. Never really thought about that. But think about what the Bible says. The Bible says He didn't come into the world to take on the form of angels. He didn't come into the world to put this may be crude, but this is the way the world thinks, so I'll just say it. He didn't come into the world in the form of a monkey, did He? He came in the form of man. He came in the form of man so that we can reason, we can understand that there is a being that is supreme to everyone of the creation that's in the world. That creation is God. That is, He is the Creator, and He came into a man, and His seed came upon that woman. Now, listen. What He does is He gives us this understanding, and He gives us... Do you remember the time when God gave you insight? Think about that. That's what this is talking about. Not only is it understanding, but this is insight, and a progressive insight. When I first got saved, I had this insight that there was something making me feel the way I felt. It wasn't those brothers, it wasn't those sisters, it was the Holy Spirit. He was progressively helping me to understand that there is a God. Right? He does. How do I fully explain it? I can't fully explain it, I just know that it happened. And there's a chosen means by which He wants that to happen. And that's why this church is still here today. You know what that is? It's the preaching of the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's the Word of God. It is the power unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. That's His chosen means to do that. I'm telling you, brothers and sisters, faith church, we need to understand why we're here. What God has for every one of us. And what He wants us to do is to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ to a lost and dying world. To perceive or recognize and come to know better and more clearly. Some people say, well, why do you go to church? Well, one of the reasons I go to church is so I can know more about God. So I can understand more about God. Not to be seen, not to be heard. You know, when I was raised up, and this is just the way it was, and my dad, when he was raised up, he was raised that children are to be seen and not heard. And I thought to myself, man, that's pretty harsh. But the teaching of it is this, that when we are raising up our children, we need to raise them up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. Why? So that they can hear and understand that God is real. So to perceive or recognize and come to know better and more clearly Him, who is true. Isn't that, shouldn't that be our main objective? Our goal is to understand more about God. More about what He wants for each and every individual. You see, there is just one true God. And the way that we come to realize that is that Jesus Christ provides the key element to progressively understand the true God. Jesus Christ. Is this a New Testament church? You know why it's a New Testament church? It's a New Testament church. It's because of Jesus Christ, the one that founded it, set it up, and He still is the head and founder of this church, isn't He? So in order for us to help us to understand the God that we serve, and that's what we're here to do today, isn't it? How many of us come to serve God today? To serve Him. Absolutely. And so, the reason we come to serve God is because we understand that He's real. That we are come to give Him glory and honor and praise. And because it is a progressive work, we need to understand what Peter was talking about in 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 1. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 1, you know what he said? We want to have a better understanding of God. We need to understand something about ourselves. And what is it about ourselves? Number one, he said, wherefore laying aside all malice and all guile and all hypocrisy and all envies and all evil speakings as newborn babes. How ironic it is for Gracie to be here with us today. You see, when we first got saved, we didn't understand God. But we understood that there was a change that took place by God in our hearts to help us understand that we want to know more about Jesus. I like that song, I want to know more about my Lord. I want to know more about what He has. And that's one of the reasons I study every day. That's one of the reasons I have a prayer every day. That's one of the reasons I have devotion every day. And it's one of the main reasons I come to church every time the church doors are open. When I can get here. If I can get here. And so it is imperative that we take time every day of our life to understand more about God. You know, of all the things I'd like to understand in this world, you know what? It's more important to understand the things about God than it is anything. You know why? Because we're going to be with Him in eternity. Then we will fully know and understand what He's all about. But aren't you glad that we can have a little taste of it here? The Bible says, taste and see that the Lord is good. That's how we understand that He exists. That He's good and that He loves us. So Peter says, wherefore, laying aside all these things, the malice, the guile, the hypocrisies, the envies, and the evil speakings, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the Word that ye may grow thereby. Anybody heard one bad thing out of Gracie today? What's your point, preacher? I'll tell you, when we first got saved, you know what? It was new, it was brand new, and we were so vibrant. We just craved to know more about God, didn't we? What happens over time? Should that happen over time? That we drift away when all He says is, come to me every day, every minute, every second. Why? Because He loves us. So as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the Word that ye may grow thereby. If so be you have tasted that the Lord is gracious, to whom coming as unto a living stone, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God, and precious. You just really didn't know how precious you were today, did you? You're precious. You're chosen of God. Do you understand that? Do we understand that in God's eyes, you are precious? You are so precious because you are chosen, and also you are lively stones and are built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God. Do you understand that? In order for it to be acceptable to God, it has to be by who? Jesus Christ. Wherefore, also, He is contained in the Scriptures. Behold, I lay in Zion. He says, a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and that done. But he and he that believeth on Him shall not be confounded. Unto you, therefore, which believe, He is precious. But unto them which be disobedient, the stone which the builders disallow, the same is made the head and the corner, and a stone of stumbling, and a rock of offense, even to them which stumble at the word, being disobedient, whereunto also they were appointed. He says, but ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of Him who hath called you out of His darkness into His marvelous light. And so, since He has called us out of darkness into His marvelous light, what does that do? It gives us understanding. You understand that we were in darkness, but now we've come to the light, which in times past were a people, but now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. So today, as we think about some things about understanding God, one of the very first things that God wanted His people to understand about Him is that He's the only one true God. Do we understand that? And in Exodus chapter 20, did you hear what John said in the conclusion of that 20th and 21st verse? He said, little children, keep yourselves from idols. Now why would He do that? Why would He say, keep yourselves from idols? Amen. Because you see, an idol distracts us away from understanding what God's all about. And the very three first commandments of the Ten Commandments, what did God say in Exodus chapter 20? Let's read what it says there concerning God and understanding God. First of all, God spake all these words saying. First thing we need to understand is this word that we're reading today is God's word. We need to understand that. And God's word, you say, well, when the children of Israel, they were there and come out of Egyptian bondage, and God gave them all these commandments, and they only applied then. I'll guarantee you they still apply today. The problem is a lot of people just don't understand what they really mean. God really means that He's the only true God. And this is how He said it. He said, I am the Lord God. He says, I am the Lord God which hath brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. You say, well, that was them. But I'm going to guarantee you right now, spiritually, God brought every one of us out of spiritual bondage. And when He did that, you were the first one to understand that. And you'll be the first one to tell about that. You'll be the one to tell that. Why? Because God is God. He's never changed. The Bible says in the book of Hebrews, and I had this marked last week, and I guess I wasn't ready to bring it out last week, but it says that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. You know who Jesus Christ is? If you read John chapter 10, you hear His voice, you're going to understand that one of the things He said in that 30th verse, He said, I and my Father are one. We read that in Sunday school this morning, or today as well. So listen. He said, I am the Lord thy God, and have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. That's pretty clear, isn't it? Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Do we understand that? I believe we understand that. God understands that we, as human beings, we drift, don't we? I've seen a few people drift today. You didn't know I could see everybody. I can see everybody up here. I know who's drifting. I know who's not drifting. Maybe you're drifting away talking to the Lord. Maybe you're drifting away thinking you need to do this or thinking you need to do that. But tempting. He understands who this message is for. Maybe it's just for me. I don't know. The deeper I get into it, the more I understand, and I told you this last week, that God, the substance of God, is so immaculate, so far from east to west and from beginning to ending, and everything about God, I don't have the words in my vocabulary to express what God is. But I understand He exists. And I understand that He says that He says, "Thou shalt have no other gods before Me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above or that is in the earth beneath or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them nor serve them." He said, "For I, the Lord God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquities of the fathers upon the children of the third and the fourth generations of them that hate Me." A lot of people say, "Well, people just don't worship these images anymore." Well, when you're going I-65, and you're going down I-65, and you want to see people that worship things in their front yard, you can get out there at the Millersville exit, and you won't have to drive very long going towards White House, and just look to the left. Before you get to the school, before you get to the police station there, and what you'll see is all these statues of Hindu gods right out in the yard in Tennessee. Some people say, "Well, you got to go all the way to India to see that." No, you don't. It's in our backyard. Worshipping dead gods that are statues that are out there. Why? Because there is a world full of people that just don't understand God. God is spiritual. That woman that came in the fourth chapter of the book of John, I think I mentioned it last week, I'll mention it again because it all interchanges. She didn't understand God. She just knew that her father Jacob had given them a well that she could come and drink from every day, and she said to Jesus, "Give me the drink," because He said, "I've got a drink that I'll give you that you'll never thirst again." She understood that in Jerusalem is where people ought to worship God. Did you know that? Jesus said this statement. He said, "God is a spirit, and they that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth." That is where a lot of people just don't understand God. God's a spirit. He's not made in these images, but yet even people that they just conjure up what God is in their mind, and they're just not going to do it. Why? Because His ways are higher than our ways, His thoughts than our thoughts. We can't attain to it. There's a great gap between us and God. That great gap, that great gulf that's between us and God, it is made, the gap is completely covered from one side to the other in His Son. And I'm going to close with that today, but let me finish this. And it says, "Thou shalt not bow thyself down, nor serve them, for I am a jealous God, visiting the iniquities, the sins of the fathers upon the children in the third and the fourth generation of them that hate Me." You mean there are people in this world that hate God today? Yes, there is. Why? Because they just don't understand God. That ought not be. Oh, I wish everybody had an understanding of God. But you know what He says? "Even those that hate Me, I told you, if He loved Me, He loves everybody." He says, "And showing mercy unto thousands of them that love Me and keep My commandments." He said, "Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh His name in vain." And He still doesn't today. The first three: "Thou shalt have no other gods before Me. Thou shalt not make any graven image or likeness. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain." Three of the things that are very misunderstood about God. When He says, "Thou shalt not," there will be consequences even to our children of this generation and the generations to come. And I think I'm understanding a little bit about that, aren't you? So how is this bridge gapped? You know, when Jesus is asking those, or telling about His sheep and the sheep that know His voice and all that, there was a key question that He asked and that the people asked. And brother, I don't have to really bring it out because the Lord wants me to bring out something else in my conclusion today. But brother Terry this morning, he talked about in that Sunday school and all those people that came and they said, tell us plain. Is there any doubt that God is who He says He is and Jesus Christ is who He is and who the Holy Spirit, that all of them are one? Is there any doubt those people that came? We're doubting that You are the Messiah. And He spoke to them plainly. And I'm glad that He still speaks plainly today to let people know who He's all about. And in closing today, in 1 Timothy, I believe it is, I want to read this, and then 1 Timothy chapter 2, it says, "For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God, our Savior, who will have all men, to be saved, and come to what? And come to the knowledge or the understanding." That your intellect, and a lot of people say, well, the intellect doesn't have anything to do with it. I'm going to tell you right now, the intellect has a lot to do with it. God is merciful. And people that don't have the right mind to understand God, He has mercy. That's God. But when a person has the right mind to be able to reason and to understand that there is a supreme being, the one true God, He says, who will have all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. You want to understand about God? You need to understand that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. That He is the true God. That He is the one that bridges the gap between God and man. Of the man Christ Jesus, to bring us to what? An understanding. So how do you understand God? I'll tell you. You just repent and seek the Lord Jesus Christ with all your heart until you know Him. And when He knows Him, then you have your first understanding of what God is. Now, people might say, well, I felt God pricking my heart. Now, that's we're not on the Holy Ghost right now, but the Holy Ghost, you know what He does? He reproves. He's the one that introduces us to the fact that there is a God and we need to understand. And so He reproves us, He convicts us, He convinces us that God is real. So, it's the man Christ Jesus who gave Himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time. God is good. God is love. God is real. In Hebrews chapter 1, I thought I'd read that today, but I guess I got to stop here. But what it says God. You know that? You know how the book of Hebrews is introduced? One word, it says God. Then all the book of Hebrews, you know what it's about? It's about God. Did you know that? Everything about the book of Hebrews. It's about God. And we're just getting little snippets really today. That's all we're getting, little snippets of what God's all about. But listen to what it says here. And maybe that's where I'll pick up next week. I don't know. But it says here, the very first word in the book of Hebrews, look at it. A lot of people, I think they just read over that. But you know what it says? It's capital G-O-D, comma, God. In. Who at sundry times, you know what that means? At various times,
in various times. I'm telling you, we're in a time right now. We're in a generation right now. We only have a limited amount of time. You say we've been here 61 years here at this location. But you know what? All we have is today. All we have is now. All we have is 2017 to make our impact on a world to help them understand that God is real.
We're going to let it slip away. Did you know that's in the book of Hebrews? Generations have just let it slip away. How many generation gaps do we have here today? God, who at sundry times and at divers manners spake in times past unto the fathers by the prophets. But you know what He chose? This will complete my thought today. For if you want to understand God, you've got to understand Jesus Christ. He says, hath in these last days spoken unto us by His Son, whom He hath appointed heir in all things, by whom also He made the worlds, who being the brightness of His glory and the express image of His person, upholding all things by the word of His power, when He had Himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the Majesty on high. God, His Son. Oh, what an honor it is to be able to speak about God today. Thank you for letting me speak about God. I think I made this statement last week, and I'll make it again. How sad it is to go to organizations that call themselves church and never go in and mention the word God. Last week, how many times did we just say it? How many times was it said in Sunday school? 115 times within 45 minutes. How many times today? Did anybody keep track? I'll guarantee you somebody did. Probably not here in the flesh, but His Spirit recognizes every time that we recognize God. It does not go unnoticed. And it will not go unnoticed what's taking place here. Keep that in mind. Do you understand? It's not going to go unnoticed what is taking place here. Be encouraged. God is on our side. If I didn't believe that, I would be searching. I would be searching. Because I understand that there is only one true God. I have no idea if I'll bring this back up again next week. If I do, it's because of God. If it's not, it's because of God. Does that make sense? Absolutely. For you see, I circled it today. Brother Cherry brought it out in Sunday school. It's not about me. It's not about us. But it's about His Son, Jesus Christ. That's what it's all about. It's all about the great majesty on high. And I'll tell you, I don't know how eager you are today. Maybe you're eager for me to get done. But for some reason, I feel in my heart that Jesus is eager to come and get us out of this world. Maybe you don't believe that, but I really do. But God, only He knows when it's all going to be over. But I just anticipate Jesus every day. Is it time? Is it time to go bring my children home? Haven't they suffered enough? Haven't they been through enough? But then, there's always that one that says, please wait. I've got a loved one. I've got a friend. I've got a neighbor. Do you think that has an impact on it? Sometimes I really do believe that. That God, who is long-suffering, not willing that any should perish, but all come to repentance, So who gets to benefit from that? We all do. Because we get another opportunity to worship God. Worship Him in spirit and in truth. Thank you for listening today. It's hard to know where to stop. But I've got other things I need to say. Maybe I'll get to it. Maybe I won't. You see, maybe I'll be the next to go. Maybe you will be. But whether it is or whether it isn't, God knew what we needed today. And I hope it's been a benefit to you and to the cause and to uplift the Holy God who deserves all glory, honor, and praise. Anybody have a word on your heart? Song? Anything that needs to be said or done? A lead. Light of glorious gospel of Jesus Christ to shine into their heart, they'll continue to remain in ignorance. I think the scriptures will show that. But it's up to you, it's up to me. Let our lights will shine before you, we can glorify our Father who's already there. Isn't that what we're supposed to do? Anything else on anyone's heart? Let's stand and sing, Brother Stoner. You're already standing, aren't you? He's already standing his own. Let's come around and shake hands with each other. Let everybody know we love one another. God loves you. We love God. We love God. Glad He loves us. We stand his
own.
That's a good one of a song.
Marshall. Anything else in everyone's heart today?
Mercies will be with us so we can come again to your house of worship this morning.